This is an ABC podcast.
You're with Amber and Sabrina for Roots and Shoots Gardening on 102.5 ABC Perth and ABC Radio WA.
Saturday the 16th of May, Sabrina Hahn, and here we are
together again. I know, it's been a week.
It has been a week, hasn't it? You've been busy? Always.
Pretty busy. But we're in for fine weather for a whole week.
Yeah, perfect autumn gardening weather.
Land sakes.
She's excited.
Bloody Nora. I've got the full dump of autumn leaves now. So the cercis has dropped everything. It's bare as a baby's bum. Mm-hmm. My neighbour's gleditsia is just about bare. My poinciana, I don't think it's lost a leaf yet.
But really? They're late, aren't they?
They're very late. And the Boab's going into winter mode. So I have to put his little blanket on now so he doesn't get any winter rain.
So what's the blanket? Describe that.
Oh, because I want the Boab to think it's in a wet, dry season. And, of course, the wet is in winter and the dry is in summer.
Okay.
No, sorry. The wet is in summer. The dry is in winter.
Okay.
Our wet is in winter and the dry is in summer.
So blankie.
So to make it feel at home and not get root rot, I put a blankie around the base so the water doesn't penetrate in the root system.
Ah, there you go.
It's like a little swaddling for my Boab.
Oh, how lovely. 1-300-22-1025 is the number. Sabrina Hahn is here at your disposal.
I am.
Avail yourself of her expertise. She is an encyclopedia. Ooh. This is how Italian friend pronounce encyclopedia. Encyclopedia. Of botanicals and knowledge. Ooh. And you should see her when she goes in the zone. It's a thing to behold.
Oh, God, it's so exciting. It was great listening to the insect man.
Wasn't he great?
Michael White. No, not
Tom
Michael.
White.
Tom White. And even Gudera before that was the philosophical, I'm definitely in the blue camp, 100%.
I might remind because people are going to listen to that on the podcast.
Yes.
The premise was everyone in the world gets a button to push, children included, terrifying prospect. if more than 50% of people press the blue button, everyone survives. If fewer than 50% of people press the blue button, only the people who press the red button
survive.
So what that means, it's if you press the red button, you're only in it for yourself, really. Mm. And if you press the blue button, it's all for one and one for all.
Yep. And if you press the red button, then you have to remember that you'll be in a world that has psychopaths, tyrants, dictators, and people that love war.
And somebody wants to know what was the end count. So in the end we had 7 people come through with red and 10 with blue. So that was reassuring to me that the Saturday breakfast audience is a bunch of lovely people. And, in fact, Scott changed his vote. So we can go 11
I like it.
Blue
I like
and
it.
6
I like it.
Red. So, yeah, well and truly we won the round.
We have.
The blue button. The blue buttoners. Helen has a crepe myrtle. Good morning, Helen.
Good morning to you.
Good morning, Helen.
I've got this a white, beautiful crepe myrtle, but it's in a pot and it's losing all its leaves and it's not, it's about 2 metres tall.
Yeah.
When can I prune it or do you prune them?
Oh, yes, you do prune it. Now, with crepe myrtles, most people prune it when it finishes flowering and the seed has formed. So you prune those seed capsules off because a lot of energy goes into that. So you can either prune it then or because I'm always excited at the beginning of the season to get the pruners out or you can prune it midwinter, so anytime June, July.
Yeah, and not too savage?
No, don't savage them up. You'd really go for the shape of the tree. So if it's really crowded, you can take some of those overcrowded stems off or branches off, but you don't want to prune crepe myrtles hard ever.
No. I did it once and it said, to hell with you, I'm still going to grow, and it did.
Oh, good,
so,
good.
You know, and it's looking, it's beautiful at the moment with its awesome cut of leaves.
Yeah, I absolutely love them, Helen.
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful
well, thank
tree.
You very much.
Okay, no worries.
Thank you for that, Helen. Now, Darren is in Beverly, or is Beverly in Darren? That's the philosophical question to get us through gardening this morning.
No, I see what you did there, Amber. I see what you did there.
It's not Darren, it's Darren.
Yeah, she did say. Is it Darren in Beverly? Oh, I see what
it's
you're
just
saying.
My fancy accent.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She's gone posh this morning.
Darren?
Oh, yeah.
What troubles you with your white fig?
Well, I've got that white fig that I grew before, which you showed me how to grow, and I did get fruit off it earlier in the year.
Yeah.
It's not really big. But why is it fruiting again now?
There's weird, my fig tree is doing the same. It's because we had that all those really beautiful warm days coming into autumn. So autumn was almost like summer, and we didn't have any cold nights until recently. So a lot of the fruit trees have gone, oh, maybe I can't remember winter, but maybe we're back in spring. So that fruit probably will not form, Darren, ripen.
I wasn't hoping it was his last death throw.
I know. Gosh, no.
A lot of things will put out to grow a seed when they know they're going to survive again, you know what I mean?
No. No, it's not its last gasp. Don't worry about that. It's just that it thought, I don't know what happened to winter. Now we're back in spring, summer. So, because what's happening now in terms of climate, we're down to two seasons, it would appear. So we really need to go back to the much more adaptive Aboriginal six seasons, because that is where we are in the Southern Hemisphere. Very different to the Northern Hemisphere.
Very microphone on. Very different.
Yeah.
Furious agreement with you, Darren. Has Sabrina been of assistance?
Yes. At least it's not going to die. That's
no,
the main thing.
I promise you, it will not die. Fruit. No, it will not die. But the fruit will not ripen and become sweet and juicy over the winter period.
Well, if it falls off, it doesn't matter, as long as the plant doesn't die.
No.
Darren?
No, it won't die. Promise.
Darren. Okay.
Darren,
thank you.
Darren, wait, Darren. Are you there, Darren?
Yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 5, how would you rate your service this morning?
A bit below average. Nah, bloody good.
Thanks, Darren. Des is
I knew he was going to say that.
Good morning, Des. What's your question for Sab?
Oh, I got a black fig that was bearing heavily down in Bunbury Sand, and took cutting about 5 years ago. It took off like mad up here in Mundaring.
Yeah.
But hundreds of figs on it, but they're about as big as a thimble.
Okay, so change of climate for your fig, and definitely a change of soil type. I reckon it's just going to take a couple of years to adapt and adjust, Des.
I think it's been about 5 years.
Oh, has it? And it's never actually come good with the fruit?
Not ripe fruit.
Has the fruit fully developed, or it's always been small?
No, only as big as a thimble, like I say, yeah.
Okay, so that's going to be a dud. I'd take it out and get a known variety. Even though the cutting is actually genetically exactly the same as the parent plant, the roots that it's developed on that particular branch that you took a cutting from, there's something wrong in the state of Texas there. It's just not... It's not forming. It's just not performing, basically.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So I think you might need to go and get a different. Sometimes when you take a cutting of a plant, the rootstock is always weak. The rooting system is always weak, and so you'll have problems with it. Sometimes cuttings just do not cut the mustard, and you won't know until a few years, but I would say that problem's going to persist. If in 5 years it hasn't come good, it's always going to be weak.
Ah, right.
Mm.
All right. Thank you very much.
Sorry, Des.
Thanks, Des. And Leander is in Waikiki, and we have received an image of a garden plan here. And Leander, hello. What would you like to ask Sab?
I'm rewilding and black cockatoo fooding my entire front yard and verge.
Yeah.
And so it's got, it's going to be four banksias, two hakeas. I've got five mallees for it.
Yep.
And so I've planted about 30 plants so far.
Yeah.
This is going to be ongoing for ages.
Yeah.
But a silver princess. So I've got a silver princess that's about a metre and a half. And I'm trying to work out what the best place for it is in terms of how big, how dependably big will it get, because I'm sort of putting it off to the side and there's power lines nearby.
Okay, so that's not a problem. You won't need to worry about the power lines. It's not the power line that comes from the road to your house, though, is it? Because they're lower.
No, it's not that. It won't be close enough to bother that.
Okay.
It's just sort of going along, so, yeah.
Yeah, no. Well, that's fine. And your silver princess... Because they vary so much, you have to remember that the silver princess, if you're going to put one in, you actually need to give the space around the silver princess that you can see its beauty and how its branches will reach out and arch down. So there are semi-weeping, and Amber's doing the interpretive dance of a silver princess as we speak. So she's gracefully weeping down. So you must allow room around the silver princess so it doesn't get overcrowded. And now she's beautiful. You're missing out on what your silver princess could look like, Leandra, with this marvellous interpretive dance that is right beside me.
Because where I was looking at putting it is next to, I guess I can give it 2-3 metres next to
perfect.
A polystemon that's fairly large.
Yeah, absolutely. Perfect spot.
Fantastic. I can get that
good
in
on you,
today.
Leander.
You can get that in today, yeah.
Very quick. I've got a Sinandra, which is the most beautiful little mallee. I have fallen in love with.
Oh, I love Sinandras.
So I've got this little one.
Yep.
And it's doing great. I put it in about a month ago. It's doing great, lots of new growth. But it is, I don't know if they're weeping naturally or
Yeah, they
not,
do. They're very weeping.
Oh, okay, yeah, because I'm sitting there going, you're very floppy. Are you
they're floppier.
At any moment?
Yeah, that no, they don't straighten up. They're very flippy floppy. They're floppier than the Silver Princess.
Good luck with that. Thanks, Leander.
Thanks, Leander.
Thank you. Good luck. And she's rewilding. What a good woman.
I know. I love it.
Rosemary is in Esperance. Good morning, Rosemary.
Good morning.
What's your question for Sab?
My question's regarding raspberries.
Mm-hmm.
So I put two canes in a couple of years ago.
And now you probably have about 500?
I do. They're growing up in the middle of the rhubarb and all over the lawn.
Mm.
And how do I control them? Can I just dig each little plant up and then replant a couple?
Yes, definitely. I would definitely be. Raspberries are a nightmare once they get going.
They taste good, though.
Oh, they taste delicious, but they're not as bad as blackberry, but they're pretty close. So, definitely dig up, and then can you put them in an area where they will be contained and can't, you know, like a big pot or something where they can't escape?
Well, my husband definitely wants me to put them in a pot, yes.
probably where they go brown and dry. Or you just let the sheep in. Sheep love raspberries, I found, in my experience. They knocked all my raspberries off when I lived in Esperance. So dig them up. Yep.
Them up. Put them in a pot.
I would put them in a pot, Rosemary. I think they're just, they are escapees of the worst kind.
Good luck with that. Thank you, ma'am. Thanks, Rosemary.
Thanks.
Roz is in Lansdowne. Good morning, Roz.
Oh, good morning, Amber and Sabrina. Just a quick question. I used to have a beautiful Corymbia ficifolia tree, the coral one.
Yeah.
And we moved house, and I really would like to remove a pretty ordinary tree in my present garden.
Yep.
And put another Corymbia in. Mm. And I can't find them in Perth. I've been on to the places that I've been recommended to, and they're all telling me that they are not, you know, they're not even producing them at the moment. But about 4 weeks ago at the Big Green Shed, I happened to notice a tree called a Corymbia belia, no, a ficifolia, a Corymbia belia orange.
Oh, yes. That's a beautiful one.
Is it? Okay, because it said it's a King's Park special.
Yes.
And I did put a question through to the King's Park line, but I didn't get a response from them. Is it worth me buying that one? And
definitely.
And I'll be happy with it.
Okay, Ros, wonderful. It's a beautiful Corymbia. Really lovely. And the colour's absolutely gorgeous.
Great. I'm on my way there now.
I'm nice.
A good woman.
Fang it. All right. Thank you for that, Ros. Heather is in Mosman Park. Good morning, Heather. We've got a photograph of, what is it? Is it a jacaranda?
It's a jacaranda stick. Oh, no, it's got a few leaves lower down.
Oh, yeah. Top's dead, though, isn't it?
No, it's not dead. No. It's lost all its leaves. But that's what jacarandas do. You just need to. It's gone deciduous. They kind of go deciduous twice a year.
Okay.
But semi. Yeah, I'd call it semi deciduous, not fully. Fully naked. I want you to prune it.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's what I want to know. What do I do with it?
Okay, so you know where it forks out. So for people that can't see the picture I'm looking at. It's about 1.2 metres. Then it forks out to two skinny little branches that look like I could snap them off with my arthritic fingers. I want you to take the smallest branch. I want you to cut it in half, take 50% off, and then on the other branch, I want you to take it down to exactly the same level as the smaller one that you've just cut off.
Oh,
so
nice.
They're the branches that are sticking out at the top.
Yes, at the top.
Not the stem.
Not the stem.
Okay. And what about that bit down the bottom? Because my neighbours keep telling me I'm supposed to chop that off.
Not yet, because your jacaranda is too small and it needs to be able to produce its own food. It needs some leaf matter to photosynthesise.
So do I.
Yeah, I'm a bit like that. It's like having breakfast, isn't it? Just a little bit of food storage in the old tum-tum gets you through the winter months. But later on, so next year when it's most robust, I want you to prune the lowest of those stems off that are near the ground.
Okay.
Yep.
Yep, perfect. That's what I absolutely needed to know, because I've got two of them. They were being thrown out and I grabbed them.
Great. Awesome. I love that.
Beautiful.
It's like, if you're getting rid of that, I'll give it a good home.
Thank you, Heather. Exactly. Good luck with it.
Thank you.
Bye. And Les is in Duncraig. Hello, Les. What's going on with your pomegranate?
Good morning, ladies. My pomegranate is about 3 metres tall, 2 metres in diameter.
Mm.
All the leaves are yellow at the moment.
Yeah, that's...
A few years back, I got about half a dozen fruits off it.
Yeah.
And they were quite small.
Yep.
Last year, and the tree's probably been there for 10 years.
Yeah.
Last year, I got none. This year, I've only got two fruits, and they're probably twice the size of a tennis ball. How do I improve things?
Wow. That's not bad. They've put the energy into the only two fruit they've formed, but it's not bad. Okay. So it's normal for their leaves to go yellow because they are now going into dormancy, and you have to fertilize that tree in spring. With pomegranates, most people overwater and over-fertilise. The big fertilising regime for pomegranates is when they start shooting, where you see the buds are forming at the beginning or mid-spring. You fertilise them then and you don't fertilise them again after that.
Okay. Can I ask another question then?
You've got to prune them in winter, Les.
Now.
Yep.
Oh, sorry, that's what I was going to ask. How do I prune it? Like a heavy prune or just a trim around the edges?
No chainsaw required, Les. You need to thin out the branches so it's not overcrowded, and you need to take a third off all the remaining branches.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'll give it a go.
Have a shot at that.
Thank you for that, Les. Lorna says, any suggestions for low-growing plants suitable for verge to deter dogs? My verge is a favourite stop and drop-off spot.
We've got a poopetrator.
A poopetrator.
We've actually got a poopetrator at our place too.
Have you?
Yeah. Oh. It's like, come on, you know, pick it up.
It amazes me that people think that, you know, it's okay just to let your dog go in parks where kids play or down, you know, your own neighbourhood, and that neighbour really does want your dog poo.
Low growing. Schwabbery.
I don't know. I'd go for something spiky.
Dianella.
Lamandra.
Oh, yeah.
Because the seeds on those are spiky. And if you get the Dianella, what's it called, little baby or baby something, it has rhizomes and it'll spread. It'll spread across.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
But some dogs, like I trained my dogs to only poo in the one spot in the backyard.
How'd you do that?
It's easy, but you've got to start it when they're puppies.
Yeah.
So you take them up to that one spot all the time and then reward them with a treat, and then they will only go to that one spot. But the Labrador I had didn't like putting his little derriere on the ground, so I had to put a stump, because he used to climb on the stump, and so his bum wasn't actually on the ground and poo on his stump.
I love dogs.
I know, they're extraordinary.
They're so beautiful.
So gorgeous.
Graham says, what is the talk back number? I ring 1-300-221-025 and it tells me to ring back. Graham, that's you could try now because we do have a couple of lines free, but if you're getting that message, it's likely because all the lines are full. And Mark in Port Kennedy is on line 4. Hi, Mark. What have you got going on with worms?
I do have worms in the garden.
Yeah, good. Good. I had worms elsewhere once, but yes. Brought home by my manky children. But worms in your garden are much better than worms, you know, up your derriere.
That's what I was thinking too. So I have a worm farm and the old worm juice, what's the best way of using that? Because I think I put some on my front lawn, maybe too strong, which resulted in a large dead front lawn.
Okay, 1 to 10. So you're going to put 1 part worm juice, 10 parts water.
Okay.
Yep, that's the way to go.
And how often can you use it?
I wouldn't use it more than once every 3 or 4 weeks.
Okay, there's my mistake.
Ah, okay, you're getting a bit excited with your worm juice there, Mark.
Was I ever?
I can understand why, though. It's just such lovely stuff,
it's beautiful.
Isn't it?
There's worse things to get addicted to than worm wee.
Thank you for calling in, Mark, and good on you for making worm juice. What a good thing that is. Sabrina Hahn.
Yes.
Can you just talk for a second, please,
while
I look for something?
Well, we did have an interesting text message from, I can't find it now because you know how they move very quickly. So a lady has sent a picture of a plant that's got the most beautiful white, big white flower, sort of like a single camellia with a yellow centre, and wanted to know what it was.
Yes.
And I knew it was a Gordonia, but I also knew that they've just changed the name of Gordonia to Polyspora, which is not a very nice name. It's a beautiful tree. So
did Gordon do something terrible?
Heavens only know what Gordonia did. So it's a small tree or a shrub, gets to about 3 metres. It gets a bread and butter plate sized white flowers that have these beautiful yellow stamens. Can you get it here? I haven't seen them for sale in the nurseries for a very long time, which is a shame because they're so beautiful. You can get them online. You can get them from an Eastern States place that sells plants online. So it was Gordonia axillaris. Now it is Polyspora axillaris. So Polyspora. And the flowers have the most beautiful perfume, Amber.
This is Roots and Shoots, the May 16 edition. And Graham is in Serpentine. Good morning, Graham.
Morning, Graham.
Ooh, you in a bucket?
Sorry,
is he in a bucket?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. We can now.
All right.
Sorry. Fire away.
My problem is I've got two dwarf citrus trees, a dwarf lemon and a dwarf mandarin.
Yep.
I've had them for a couple of years in, I guess, about 60 litres of potting mix, you know, that were all initially potting mix.
Yeah.
In buckets. So I've got mandarins this year, but I've never had any lemons, and I thought they would have been good, you know, easy. And I've got one about the size of a Jaffa.
Well, it doesn't sound promising, does it, Graham?
No. I'm just wondering if I need to put a lot of citrus fertilizer with it or what?
No, I think what you need to do is give the soil a bit more oomph. So you need to give it a little bit of Sophie Tucker, I reckon.
Yeah.
You need to go and get some compost and some sheep poo or chicken poo, and I want you to mix it together 50-50, and I want you to put that on top of the soil and kind of mix it in if you can. And that means that when you do apply fertilizer, that the root system will be able to uptake the fertilizer. So for things like citrus trees, just having them in potting mix is not enough. You have to add stuff to the potting mix.
Right, yeah. I think it was potting mix for it's a couple of years now, so I think it was potting mix for citrus trees. But
yeah, but potting mix breaks down after 12 months, Graham.
Yeah. All right, that's fair enough.
So build up the soil, and then it will be able to uptake the nutrients that you're putting on.
Right. Thank you very much. That's
okay.
Very
thanks,
thank
Graham.
Thank you for that. Claire in Geelong has been waiting so long and so patiently. Claire, I'm sorry it's taken so long to get to you, but welcome to Saturday Breakfast and Roots and Shoots.
Thank you. All good. It's been fun to I'm still thinking about that of the woman on the verge who wants to, you know, keep the dogs away, which is understandable.
Yes.
I'm just thinking about the fact that spiky plants will now equal greyhounds peeing on them.
Is that correct? And why? Are they looking for something as tall as themselves? Or
I don't know. It's a thing of greyhounds. My cousin
really
has this deep sigh because she's got a greyhound and it's just this, okay, he's doing it again. Yep.
Isn't that extraordinary?
I love greyhounds.
I know. They're such beautiful, dogs.
You have some plants of capsicums.
Oh, yes. And
Geelong capsicums.
And you're in Geelong.
Yes, I
beautiful
am.
Beautiful part
Thanks
of the
listening.
World.
Oh, it's very nice to hear about Perth because usually, you know, you kind of forget, you know, you're the other side of Australia.
Yes.
We are very Eastern centric.
Yes.
So it's very nice to tune in every week and hear the other side of the
It's lovely over here. Don't tell anyone, though. It's a nice secret.
We love you, Claire.
Yeah.
You think outside the boundary. That's what we enjoy. Now we have pictures of your capsicums that have got sort of distorted leaves.
Well, yes. I think it's probably inconsistent watering and just forgetting to feed them. But it's more of how do I overwinter them? Because, I think actually also are they being eaten or are they just also just
No, they're not being eaten, they're being sucked. So because in the insect world we have chewers that eat and suckers that suck the sap. out of the leaves. Now, I would say that they're thrips. And they're probably chili thrips because chili thrips go love capsicums as much as they do chilies and strawberries. And now, I should imagine in Geelong that their day is pretty done if you start getting cold, wet nights. So you can spray. You can spray with pyrethrum if you want to. Now, to overwinter them, what you're going to do is you're going to make little hothouses around them. So bubble wrap works really, really well. So you put up a frame and then you cable tie bubble wrap around. You have to leave the top open. Don't close the top. And you take the bubble wrap the same height as the height of your bushes, and basically you're creating a little hothouse.
Ooh, does this also work for avocados?
Absolutely, it does.
Okay, because I usually, my dog likes to run through my guard on my, but I usually put the, what do you call it, the frost guard on my
avocado. Oh, yeah, the frost guard,
yep. She likes to run through it.
Right.
So whenever I come back out, discover it's been frostbite.
Some avocados can actually take quite a bit of frost, actually. But anyway, your dog may have a bit of trouble actually getting through bubble wrap.
Good luck with that, Claire.
Thank you. I'm just imagining her trying to discover the joys of popping the
with a little pause. Oh. Oh, that's such a beautiful
big
picture.
It is.
What German, sort of dog is she?
German Shepherd.
Oh, yes. Well, and do you know, German Shepherds are so smart. They're such clever dogs. I reckon she'd probably be capable of that.
Oh, I think so. The only reason she doesn't eat the only reason she doesn't eat my tomatoes anymore is because she thought jalapeno chili was tomato.
Tomato. Okay.
Yeah, she got three steps and dropped it and ran for walk.
Poor thing.
Well,
Claire, thank you for listening to us.
And thank you for listening. Spread the word in Geelong. Let's make us big in Geelong, the biggest gardening podcast in Geelong. Anthea is in Bayswater. Hello, Anthea.
Good morning, ladies.
Morning, Anthea.
You should have, hopefully, a couple of pictures there, which are very uninspiring.
Well, they're kind of a bit bare, but there's a little cricket pitch thing there and a set of steps. Mm. They don't appear to lead to anything, those set of steps, do they?
No, they really don't. And then our home and the outdoor furniture is about a metre and a half lower than that.
Right.
And beyond that fence is a huge house, which you can see just going up now. There's still a whole other level to go up.
So you would like something to screen that out?
I want something to screen that out as quickly as humanly possible, but also something that will attract birds and or feed birds or feed us.
Yeah. Okay, so if you want something to feed you that will block all that out, something like a mango tree would do that superbly well. If you like mangoes, some people, I'm astonished that some people hate mangoes. Or you could have a sapote tree. They call it the chocolate pudding tree. Do you know the sapote? Yeah, it has a fruit like a plum, and it tastes exactly like chocolate.
Ooh.
And what about a macadamia?
Oh, most definitely, yes. And that's a beautiful evergreen tree. So you've got macadamia, you've got any of the tropical trees actually would do well. An avocado would also do really well.
But they need a special friend, don't they?
It depends. If you put in, I've got a reed, which have the big round fruit, and there's no avocado within probably 3 kilometres of, and it started fruiting from year three.
I get
heaps and heaps and heaps of fruit.
Okay, because I'm literally sitting outside of the green shed, and there's a heap of trees in there that I was looking at. I've been trying to work this out for weeks.
Yeah.
And my only other question in regards to this is there will be a small pool going in there eventually.
That's okay.
Will any of those trees drop a lot all the time?
Well, don't put the mango in then. It depends how far away.
It's not a huge space.
Well, the thing is, with all the trees that I've given you, the leaves are big. So it shouldn't be. The big problem comes where you've got really tiny little leaves, and that's a nightmare to clean up from a pool. But with all those fruit trees I've given you, it's big leaves. So, you're not putting something like jacaranda in there where you get tiny little leaves dropping.
No, and I love the hakeas, but it looks like they sort of drop as well.
Yeah, they drop quite a bit. And you want something bigger than a hakea.
Yeah, it's got to be at least 9 metres.
Yeah, no, you're not going to get that out of a hakea.
Well, you just saved me about another 100 hours of Googling.
Oh, Anthea, it's my pleasure.
Thank you, Anthea.
I really appreciate it. Thanks, lady.
No worries.
5 stars for you, Sabrina. I love this. This is from Nikki in Quaritting. She says, Amber and Sabrina, you have men who prune too much, men who spray too much. What do you do for women who burn? Doing some burning 2 weeks ago and I set fire to my orange tree. I've now removed the fruit off it, but what else can I do to help it survive? Sorry for laughing. It has started to flower. Do I remove these buds? I have consulted the great expert text, but nothing to help women who burn. I think that makes you Joan of Arc, doesn't it?
I reckon so. And Nikki, I'm a woman who burns. I do like burning stuff.
I can imagine.
I like burning and blowing stuff up.
Set fire to it all.
That's it. You can't blow stuff up anymore. There's no fun in life.
Is this thing going to survive? We've got a picture of a pretty sad looking orange.
I know. Nikki, now the one thing about citrus trees is I've seen areas where bushfires have gone through and not under your hand, Nikki, but if it is setting flower, I want you to pull the flowers off and I want you to prune your parched Joan of Arc tree. Take a third of, actually I'd take 50% off at this stage. Make sure you use a wetting agent and you're going to pour the water on. And I would get some, there's juice you buy in a bottle that will make your tree go back into life.
Okay.
So drench it with that and just keep the water up. I reckon that tree is going to survive. I want you, Nikki, to send a picture of your orange tree or keep us up to date in 3 months' time to tell us how it's going.
She's like the Fiona Wood of the gardening burns unit, aren't you, Dal? Wow. I'm on fire this morning, hey?
You are. Boom, boom.
Justin is in the beaky. Good morning, Justin.
Good morning.
Morning, Justin. Is your mulberry weeping?
It's not weeping enough, I don't reckon. It's shooting.
Pretty upright.
Oh, it's shooting.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to get rid of it. So Justin sent me a picture of – for some unknown reason, the pictures are quite dark. So the blob – the blob in the middle, is that the weeping part of the mulberry?
Yeah.
Okay.
I assume it's like a graft situation.
Yeah, the graft is taking over the weepy bit. You've got to get rid of that. You've got to take those off.
Pruny. With your savvy stabber.
License to prune.
Yeah. Get the stabby savvy. Go hard on those.
Do you know what? We could have Danielle Bender, if you're listening, we could have licences to prune printed, couldn't we?
I like that.
To go with your secateur
the
bum
belt.
Bags.
Yeah.
License to prune. And you have to pass a test, and the test is, your wife going to let you have it?
Yeah, that's right. And with the stabby savvy, you can actually get the smaller one that's easier for women to have. I think all blokes should buy their partners a stabby savvy as a gift because I use mine for everything. I could probably cut bread in the meat up with it.
Justin, have we been of assistance?
So, Justin, you've got the rootstock coming through and you have to cut that right off.
And it's like your pen licence, isn't it? Yeah. When you get your pen licence in grade 7.
We give you permission.
I've never got that.
Oh!
Are you still using a pencil?
Well, I just got too old and it was too embarrassing to bring it up at school.
Does this cause you deep shame?
It still does a little bit. Yeah.
Oh, Justin.
I'm sad. Do you know, if I was your mum, I would have gone and had a big crack at your teacher for that. I would have helicopter parented the shit out of it. Excuse me, I just swore. I feel angry for little Justin.
She is on your side, Justin. She is batting for you so hard.
Justin, I not only bequeath you a pen license, I bequeath you a secateur pruning license as well.
Wow, this is actually a really big moment. Thank you.
Thank you for coming out to play. It is always fun here.
See the power that we prevail over Western Australia.
I go home and I'm a total megalomaniac. I'm just handing out pen licences willy-nilly. Hello, Gareth.
Hello, Gareth.
Are you allowed to use a biro?
Yeah, but it's not good.
Okay.
We had those stupid bloody inkwells with a pen.
I am that old.
And do you know what? I used to have long plaits and the little toad of a boy that sat behind me used to stick my plaits in the pen well.
Oh.
I wanted to poke his eyes out with a pen. Wish I'd had a stabby sabby then. I would have poked him with it. Anyway.
There's one in every class, isn't there?
There is. That's a story of the olden days for you there, Gareth.
Yeah. And so let's burst out of antiquity and into modernity. What's going on with your finger limes?
Modern day computer systems. What can we do for you, Gareth?
I've got a finger lime in like half a wine barrel pot. It's the leaves have gone yellow on the end of the leaf.
Yes, but it's in a pot, so that's good.
Yeah.
Now. Finger limes they come from warm climates. They don't like cold nights, and quite often you'll get the leaves going a bit yellow, but I would suggest you've got a trace element deficiency. You need to go and buy some trace elements. You can mix those up in a watering can and you put it around the base of the tree.
Beautiful.
Simple as that.
So,
but I wouldn't prune them until you've had them in the pot for 2 or 3 years.
Right. Okay. Because it's been about 2 or 3 years and it didn't produce as many limes as the first year. So.
Okay. So you need to feed it up a bit, I would suggest. And trace elements are the go.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Love the show too, lady.
Oh, thank you, Gareth. Gareth.
Annie, thank you for your text. And Rob is in Bayswater. Good morning.
Hi, ladies.
Hello, Gareth. No, Rob. Sorry.
Rob this time. I don't get your men mixed up.
I get them mixed up. I get them mixed up all the time, Rob. All
so
the
many
time.
Fans.
So Sabrina,
my
so
wife
many
wants to dip your curls in ink too.
Oh, does she? Does she dislike me?
I listen to you, but I won't listen to her.
She's a reasonable woman.
Do you know, lots of people tell me that. It's extraordinary. It's because I'm on the side of cut, slash, burn, prune. You know, I'm not a gentle soul.
Well, you know, I'm an old farmer. If it moves, you shoot it. And if it stays still, you cut it down. Anyway, I've got a problem. You've got to get me out of the shed.
All right, okay. What's happening?
Where we are in Bayswater, it's a factory unit.
Yeah.
And it's one of those famous tourist attractions in Perth where they throw up a few concrete slabs and they cut about a 2 metre by 2 metre hole in another concrete slab on the ground and call it a garden.
Okay. Yep, I'm with you now.
And my wife's been to visit our factory once.
Yep.
And she's coming after lunch and she said, "Oh, I hope your garden's not like it was last time I saw it." And I thought, well, shit, I haven't watered it since she last saw it. And whatever the stuff, I think the landscaping consisted of two plants about knee high and it's on a westerly aspect, so it keeps all the eucalyptus leaves. And
yeah.
It gets all the sweepings off the ground, so it's full of... We build things with plastic, and so it's full of little bits of plastic.
Okay.
So I've shoveled all that out today.
Yes.
What do I need to do to make it, in 2 hours, to make it look like a professional gardener there?
Okay.
And I'm currently parked outside the Green Mansion.
All right. Okay, Rob. Do you want a small tree? Or do you want shrubs?
Yeah, but only knee-high sort of thing.
But that is not a tree, Rob. I'm going to give you a list of plants. Listen carefully. You're going to get 3 Carex Feather Falls, C-A-R-E-X.
Just a minute, Sabrina. Can I dispute that? Because
yes.
Because I grew up in Manjimup and trees down there are carries and they're, you know, half a kilometre tall.
That's right. That's why I'm saying if you want something...
But I reckon a carry's a bit big for where we are.
Without a doubt. Don't be putting a carry in. You want something that only gets to like 2 metres high.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So there's Carex Feather Falls, which is... I'm giving you the unkillable, all right?
For yep. Do the Green Man Shed sell that?
Yes, they do.
Yep.
Then you're going to get, they will have grevilleas. Now, I don't know what variety of grevillea, but you need to look at the back of the tag. I know that farmers never look at the back of packets or anything that they buy.
No, we don't read instructions either.
That's exactly right, Rob. But this morning, you're going to make your wife really happy. You're going to look at the back of the tag of any of the grevilleas that are up at the native garden, and you are going to get one that says it grows to 2 metres, and you will buy that one. How much sun does it get?
Well, it's got a westerly aspect. It's got a little cantilever over the top.
Yeah.
So it virtually gets no easterly sun, but it gets a lot of westerly. And
perfect.
It gets a lot of eucalyptus leaves in there.
Okay.
So well, should I keep them out or are they good mulch?
No, get rid of them. Get rid of them.
Yep.
Then you're going to get, there's a little ground cover called, no, that won't grow. Because you won't look after it. Then get some Scaevola, S-C-A-E-V-O-L-A. Get 3 of them.
Yep.
3 Scaevola. Yep. And if they have any Raphiolepis.
Yep, got that.
Okay.
I'm writing all this down. I'll never follow it otherwise.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
It's Greek words or Latin words that you keep
coming I know. And I would also put in Eremophila, E-R-E-M-O-P-H-I-L-I-A.
That sounds something like I'd go to bed with to stimulate the Wi-Fi.
Wow. Some of them have soft, furry leaves. And nice to touch, but...
I'm in trouble with Ian.
You need to keep your mind above your navel.
Yeah, so Eremophila, Rob. See if they've got any Eremophila.
Yep. Got that. I'm in a bit of a hurry. Do we need to retick it? We're in the water business, so we can do...
Yes, definitely, definitely retick it, but the retick can go in after.
That white metal? Should I put some white metal over the top?
No.
Okay.
No
plastic
what?
Underneath?
Oh, my God.
No.
Get your
no
money's
plastic.
Worth, Rob.
Okay, no I want you to buy Jesus. 2 bags of compost, 2 bags of cow poo. You're going to dig that into your little 2x2. And
remind me of milking cows. They used to pull over me.
Well, it'll take you back to times from long ago. So we've got to go, Rob, because the program's finishing.
Bye.
Okay,
Rob,
bye.
Thank you for that. And if any of you... miss the answer or you would like to go back and revisit some of the answers, the show is up as a podcast within an hour of going to air. I'm sorry to all of the calls and the texts that we didn't
get to.
Darlene says that we should offer Rob a contract or someone should.
Kerry from Coogee wants to know if that's a juniper and are the roots invasive. Yes, it is a juniper and, yes, the roots are invasive.
There you go.
Done.
So what should she do with it? Pull it up? Kill it?
Cut it down.
Plant something else.
Get the stabby savvy out.
Amber and Sabrina, my verbena, which I cut back recently, has developed what I think is powdery mildew. What can I treat it with?
Oh, yeah, they get powdery mildew all the time. Ooh.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, no, it's not. That's mealybug.
Oh.
I'd pull it out. Start again.
That's merely sad.
Yeah.
We will be back next week with more silliness. And sorry to Ian in Maylands, who says we should have higher standards. And then he called us ladies. He should know by now. We're not ladies. It's 10 o'clock. See ya.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.